Welcome to the Book a Week podcast, jointly hosted by the SEPT University Library and the Center for Research on Architecture and Urbanism.
Joining me today for a conversation is architect Anjan Mitra, author of the book Durga Pujo and the City of Kolkata. Hello, sir. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello.
And just to begin with, how did you first become interested in the topic and the connection between Durga Puja and temporality?
It's a very long question, actually. In 2000, actually, Durga Puja in Kolkata, it's always a kind of a spectacle, but what we could gather that there has been a kind of a change of the way the art installations and the puja pandals are normally done. In fact, it was kind of mesmerizing because even for a small gully and other kind of obscure puja pandals in the city, they are coming up with some fantastic kind of images, which is almost like a kind of a heterotopia. It's a kind of a maya, an image that is really unbelievable. You suddenly see, which was earlier a bazaar, suddenly has been transformed into a Odisha temple with the public place, with the same kind of a sacredness. You completely overwhelmed by the transformation that has taken place. The question really stuck is, what is this kind of a transformation that is really coming up? And because our training as an architect and a planner is mainly to really understand a city which we normally cut across, in general, the urban aesthetics is not really very much prominent. And then you suddenly see these mediocre spaces around, which are profane space, daily circulation space and something. They suddenly assume a very different kind of a role. So my journey actually started almost in 2000. So my first book on Kolkata's Durga Puja was really an exploration to really understand what is Durga Puja festival in Calcutta. And that is how the whole kind of inquiry has started. Because then, up to then, we realize it is almost like an enactment of a drama. And a drama that everybody from in and out are invited to kind of observe this. So it has a very strong stories. The stories are common cultural code, so you can relate. And it's a very inclusive public spaces that has been created. Now, in today Durga Puja of the city, there are almost like 4,000 puja pandals are being created. Each puja pandal is basically a public space. So this is a space that has been created by public out of their own public spaces around, be it a circulation space, be it somebody's vacant space, wherever possible there is an open space. Everything is kind of negotiated to form this kind of a venue. Now, this, as an urban designer, it's something which really struck, because most of the time we kind of think of placemaking, but they ultimately end up like a space making because there was no life in it. And here it is thriving with livability, something people are aspiring for. So automatically then we are trying to think that there must be a kind of a connotation of this kind of temporary transformation, and there must be a new definition of space, because we have only three dimensions in the space. But what if that space is being created temporarily, and also it's a kind of a culmination of a specific location, a specific culture, and a particular time, because this happens in a very pre-scheduled time. So if you ask me, I can tell which time this Durga Puja will be held in the next year and how the people will react to. So it's a kind of a very cyclic kind of periodicity which is there. So I started asking, what is temporality and why this temporal transformation is there and why the festival is all absolutely required. So it's a kind of a exploration of the very critical cultural urban issues. And that is how then we thought that, okay, there must be a different kind of a space syntax that is going to come, which is temporal space. It is not only temporality. It is something beyond that, which is physically manifested. It's also a search, because it is not only architectural imagination I am trying to put together, but it is the whole urban design by the people, how that has been translated in a formal setup to overcome all the limitations of formal planning. So that way, this Durga Puja itself has a kind of a extremely strong structural code, which is almost like organization, it's almost like constellations. So everybody on their own, they are coming up with these installations by a shared kind of knowledge for a public imagination and transforming a very different kind of a metamorphosis in altogether of the whole city.
It's a study that spans almost 20, 23 years. And in that context, why do you think, you've also hinted this a little in the conversation right now, that, and why do you think it is important to study this in the realm of architecture? I mean, because in planning, one can still understand the concept of temporality being studied, but should architects study this?
Basically, if you really think, what is architecture and what is design to start with? Because architecture is basically designing with movement, right?
Correct.
It is a kind of a space making. Now,
absolutely,
the space that you are making, so what you are actually trying to resolve is how the things can work. It's a kind of a problem solving. So if you are designing a temple, what is your main focus? So you have to identify the deity first, because that is your prime objective. Then they have a philosophy. So while designing, you try to kind of organize the thought process as how you should be responding to the various rituals associated with that deity. Now, when you have rituals, it is also demanding a space where a certain element, certain ritual has to be performed. So there is puja. So that is why we have Garbhagriha. So that is a kind of a syntax. The devotees who come and visit this deity, they also kind of have an associated value, because they take part in that puja. Now, so they have a gathering style, because the deity is there, the pujari is there, then you have a preassembled area. So, and different time, the anjali, the prasadam, and so among other paraphernalia they come. As a result, behind the Garbhagriha, you have an atandap where these devotees do gather. So this is a kind of a sacred built typology that is coming. Now, Durga is a periodic kind of an event. So for that, you have to create a place where this kind of sacred environment can be built. This city narrates different stories to different devotees. So they have a different kind of an association. Now, the only way they can connect it through the signs and symbols. So how would you manifest them? In Durga Puja Pandal, sometimes she is also been conceptualized as the married daughter's homecoming. Now, that is a very strong notion, because if you see, because in the winter time and in the autumn, this is a kind of a common practice in Bengali society. So, married daughter Uma comes from Himalayas. So, she not only comes, she also tells you a story. So, that is why I was saying it is almost like a drama set in a kind of a audience. So, for that matter, the devotee also become an audience. So, this is now culminated. What kind of treatment? So, interior comes in, the lighting comes in, the ambience comes in, the whole mood comes in. So, you are now slowly making the space as an experiential space. And that is where the essence of architecture is, it is able to code this while in the design process. So, visitors, they decode it in their experience. It is a very inclusive space. There is no bar in terms of gender, no bar in terms of age, no bar in terms of class, no bar in terms of religion. It's a, such an inclusive space which we talk about all the time in development. But Durga Puja, that ambience actually gives you this so overwhelmingly powerful, because this is also the whole process of design. The people get involved. So it's a kind of a give and change. So it is not one body's idea which is coming in. It is, so architect here is more of a facilitator who tries to encode the different aspects into the design process so as to it is manifested. So it's, I think it is one of the most powerful architectural statements.
How do you think residents of Kolkata perceive and interact with this space differently or similarly than outsiders or tourists? Is there a difference in how people interact with this space?
You have to understand, Durga Puja is the cultural landscape of the city of Kolkata. Okay. So every puja, and essentially Durga Puja is hosted at all the residential neighborhoods, which we call para. And Durga Puja is also called Sarvojanin. Now, Sarvojanin is essentially a very public phenomenon. It is for each and everybody. It is inclusive in its most holistic sense. So that is why it is called Sarvojanin Durga Puja. So that is what, in fact, in my book, I have actually mentioned how the whole city, these kind of things do happen. And it's a hugely event management process. So to be able to do festival, the necessity of a public event is important. Durga Puja gives that kind of a public event because it has a very diverse human stories to be shared, which is culturally loaded. So Durga can be seen as Mahishasura Mardini, the good over evil. Durga can be seen as the Sri Shakti, the all embodied power or the energy that comes in. And also the daughter, which is the family, the projections. Durga, we also see this is the mother of harvest, harvesting god, the Shakambari. So altogether, if you see the, if you read those things and the kind of rituals we can come across, it's almost you have to go to the river to do the tarpon. You have to answer to your ancestors, which is tarpon in the Mahalaya. Then you have to have a Ganesha and bathe it into the river. Here is the Ganges. And then bring them through the public street into your main public venue. So the whole city actually gears together because the city hosts itself. So there is no barrier of inside and outside. The insiders only do the hosting part, because they have to hire a idol maker, they have to hire a architect or the theme makers to do the installations. So it is a large number of collaborative effort that ultimately culminates in this art installations. Because of its community involvement, that is why they have actually declared it a UNESCO intangible heritage.
Now, just to go back to the research, and were there any surprising findings or revelations that you encountered while researching this topic? And also, if there were any challenges that you faced?
First of all, it only stays in the public memory for 10 days in a year. Okay. So, virtually, it's a kind of a time travel. So, initially, when was I researching, I realized that it is each para has something different to say. Each para has a different kind of creative arts. And the way, and essentially in our design, we always have a building code. But cultural code is a much more powerful tool. And if you really think that way, the Vastu is a cultural code. Similarly, so you need a kind of a code which will help you to kind of put things together in a different way. No two puja pandals are similar. No two puja experiences are similar. Even the same people, same pandal has different experience for different people. UNESCO, when they declared this as a World Heritage Site, it is primarily because it's a 40, I mean, when we have done that, it's almost like 40,000 crore market we are talking about. We are talking about 3 crore people visiting it. See, just look at the scale of it. It actually is more than a state budget. So the implications of this as a temporal 10-day event, but that survives 80% of your craftsmen, the decorators, the informal sectors. So when we talk about design, we don't really look into these the essential aspects that goes to really make an event possible. And that is what actually I op wanted to open to the fraternity is the immense possibility of exploration and really try to seek that what is the role that we really play. Because the way people negotiate, we think that this is a barrier, but people make this is a barrier free. The road, which is essentially the only thoroughfare, people actually kind of negotiate. They, because it's a temporary, that is why they came forward and say, okay, you can put it in front of my house and do that. Because ultimately, the benefit that they are going to get is the pride of the neighborhood. So I became very proud of my own locality, like Chetla Ogroni, Horidepur, all are otherwise Muchipada, which are kind of very, you don't even take a look, second look at those. But because of this Durga Puja, they send crores of tourists into that area.
Absolutely, and that thing gets me thinking when one goes through your book, that the Durga Puja exists only for 10 days, right? And that as a researcher, you can't go back and take the pictures that you took or the observations that you made, because probably after 10 days it's not there. So next year when you go, it's a different
Non-budget.
thing, right? Yeah, so how do you reconcile with this challenge?
No, that is the reason it took me 23 years because every puja, I have tried to see the pattern, how they are evolving. And then try to, because this kind of inference of temporality at the temporal space, this idea wouldn't have generated unless I really see this pattern of the puja comes in. And in fact, the puja never stops. So right in the day of immersion, we always come up with the campaign, Asche Bochor Abar Hobe, we'll see you in the next year. So it's a kind of a periodical involute. You keep on going from one point and then come back to another. So kind of it builds an aspiration. So next time our performance has to be even better. It gives you the time to kind of think and design.
Yeah.
And that is why this particular periodicity is very, very important in terms of understanding the space. And I have taken enormous amount of visual documentation so that I can see the same space. If you see my book, I have given an existing day-to-day life that existed. So in fact, the street name, which is like Shimla Street, will become in 2019, it became Dorpon, the mirror. So that is one story. In 2022, it became Utsav, the festival. So even in 2023, probably they will come up with some of the particular period that neighborhood transforms itself into the name that is associated with that. Like maybe right. Shingodalan or something.
True.
So that is what is exciting. So the variety produces and the creativity, that is excellence.
True. And just as a last question, how do you see the city of Kolkata responding to its need of the future, given it's such a strong cultural context, especially with respect to the built environment?
Durga Puja is the answer. What actually people did, if you see the patterns that emerges of the whole city, the North Calcutta, which is the old part, which is heavily built, highly densified, and continue to develop in that particular type. So even that particular street, if you take one street, it probably hosts about 50 to 60 pujas. So irrespective of your built environment, people will find their own space to celebrate. So that is what even the urbanization, it is a kind of a Calcutta's answer to this rapid urbanization of seeking their own identity, own cultural identity and cultural expression to be manifested through the Durga Puja festival. If you take Salt Lake, which is a planned new town, there is the space transformation is not much. It is basically the open spaces which are lying redundant for the whole year. They identify the most central open space where maximum people can come. And then they install these temporary art installations. Actually, in my book, the kind of narrative, so I have given as a kind of a, almost like a sutra to the whole drama, that how that whole city, state by state, on the arterial road, on the sub-arterial roads, the paras, different paras, how they celebrate their pujas. And if you see, that is what makes it so unique. So, whichever way is the city environments, it is the Calcutta's answer they will actually respond it to in this particular manner. And this is a way of and negotiation of the urban development. That, okay, in Rio, it is the street carnival. So that is a procession. In Mohram, it is the other way. So people of different cultures in Ganesh Chaturthi in Mumbai, they take up the streets for Ganesh Chaturthi procession. In Delhi, is Deepavali. In Ahmedabad, probably the Garba. So every city has this kind of a festivals which are culturally loaded. So they create their own urban spaces according to this. So my theorization is primarily the temporal city exists in all the cities in bigger or smaller scale because ultimately it is the people's festival. So they will identify their own kind of manifestations and associated architecture to come up and organize them. So understanding temporal spaces, probably understanding the built environment in a new dimension, in a new way, And probably it might pave some very interesting inroads also in terms of urban design in the future. That is where I do hope.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much for taking out the time and talking to us about your beautiful, beautiful book. Thank you so much.
Hope you enjoyed this episode. Do not miss to like, share, and subscribe to our podcast. Available on all your favorite podcast apps.